And in 3, 2, and 1. This week in Geek.
This week in Geek, we talk about the McRib, movies, and manga.
Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to another week in Geek with the This Week in Geek podcast with the geeks this week who are the same geeks every week who are me and Kevin. It doesn't change like ever. Or very often. I don't know. Occasionally we will have a guest, which based on one of the stories that we'll talk about this week, I don't know what's going to happen when I try to get Maddie on for an interview. We'll figure it out. It'll happen. I just have to figure out when. It'll probably be in November because also my play and stuff. But yeah, whatever. Kevin, how you doing? How's your geeky week been?
Oh, it's been busy. On Monday, there was Red Bull Double Agent, which is the which was an event hosted in San Jose. I got tickets early, but it was with Ludwig and Mango, two really popular streamers. And I was there for the collegiate tournament just to see some of the current NorCal teams play against each other and just to see how it operates. While that was happening, Mango and Ludwig just happened to walk in and are doing interviews and stuff like that with Red Bull and just getting some media done before the event actually starts up. Went there, saw the Double Agent match, which was a Valorant match. The first one was a best of one, and then they did a best of three series. But the caveat of the Double Agent part is that Mango is associated with Cloud9, and Ludwig owns Moist Moguls X Shopify, or MXS. Mango can sabotage MXS's gameplay, and Ludwig could sabotage C9's gameplay. And essentially they're playing like this best of three, but with like really, really weird distractions going on mid-match. And me personally, I had a lot of fun like watching it and seeing how it all operated. But yeah, it was overall a really solid tournament. Thanks Lud and Mango for buying everybody drinks. That was fun. Would go again. It's overall like essentially like imagine like a scrimmage match, but like there are things that are popping up like mid game that the other captain gets to pick. One of them that was like absolutely funny was you know those like CAPTCHA things that happen, like to test if you're a human?
Yeah, if you're not a robot, do this, that, or the other.
Yeah, they had a button that when you hit it, it pops up a CAPTCHA and it says which agent needs a buff, right? And they have to click 7 deadlocks in order to continue moving on and like actually playing the game. Which is really funny because like Ludwig timed it with a flash. So somebody got flashed and then the CAPTCHA pops up and he's like, are you kidding me? Like he's trying to clutch up and he's like, I got to click 7 different things and hit enter. But yeah, there was that. There was like crouch, drop your weapon. Like your entire screen gets whited out, turns off the monitors for 2 seconds. Like, oh God. It's really funny. They have the whole VOD up on YouTube if you guys do want to check it out. Honestly, really funny gameplay. Would recommend just taking a peek at the idea. Mainly went there to talk to a lot of my Red Bull and Guildhouse like connections just to say like, hey, I'm still alive. If you guys need me for commentary or anything, let me know.
Resurfacing.
Resurfacing since I've been in Japan and also under a hole and unemployed. So just trying to get the word out that I'm available for gigs, so hire me. That's what I did on Monday. Tuesday, which is technically yesterday, I was out in San Francisco because my alma mater was hosting a Fleet Week event out in the city. And essentially we had the Coast Guard, the Marines, and the Navy send over a couple people who just kind of want to play or wanted to play some two-on-two Smash. So they were doing Smash Bros in pairs versus like other battalions, and then the winners get to face off in like a free-for-all kind of fight just to see who takes home the crown. So overall a really interesting like matchup overall, and the Marines won the whole thing, so congrats to them, they did really well. And yeah, that was also another really chill event. Got to meet a lot of my esports friends that I either played with on the old Overwatch team or coached. So it was good to refresh and hang out with them as well.
Sounds like it was a very good weekend.
Yeah, not during the week. I did that Monday, Tuesday.
Oh, you said Monday. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
I'm thinking like, oh, wow, he crammed that all into a weekend.
Yeah, I wish it was on the weekend. It was just so awkward. I was like, I don't know if I actually did anything crazy over the weekend. Like, the weekend itself, it might have been just like something small. The weekend. Yeah, I stayed home and I shot a couple TikToks. That's all I did that weekend.
Nice.
And then, yeah, Monday, Tuesday was like my actual event days. There was just a lot going on. What about you, Matt? How's everything going on your end?
Everything's okay. I didn't do much this weekend. I saw a couple of plays. I did an interview with one of the producers of the Loki show on Disney Plus. So that's up now on the Geeks of Color website. It was a very quick 5-minute interview, but like honestly, like the waiting for the interview took the longest part because I'm supposed to clock in at like 3:55 just to be ready, and they're like, "Oh, we'll be with you shortly," and like a half hour later, "We'll be with you shortly. We'll be with you shortly." It's like, God dang it, I've been here for how long now? Please be with me even shortly-er. But yeah, that was fun. And then it's just been rehearsals and work for me. Hooray. All right, let's get into the news of the week. Kevin, what do you think of the McRib?
I would like it. I'm not a fan of pickles. But if I didn't have to scrape that shit off, I would probably eat it more often.
Okay. I do enjoy pickles though. It's just me. I like them. I think they're fine. But apparently like the McRib was not supposed to be coming back. Last year was quote unquote, according to McDonald's, the farewell tour of the McRib. It's not. It's coming back to America. Apparently in other countries, they have the McRib year round. Like there's a comment I'm seeing right now in Germany, we have McRib the whole year. Another commenter, and good McBeers too. And apparently, yes, in Germany, you can get beer at McDonald's, but it's Germany. I would expect no less from them. yeah. But anyway, the McRib is coming back to the America. It's only going to be, as far as I understand from what I've read, it's only going to be in select stores. It's not really going to be a nationwide thing, although they might expand it. But yeah, it's coming back on November 15th. So if you like the reconstituted pork meat into a vaguely ribby shape, even though there's no bones in it, yeah, you can do that, hopefully starting November 15th. I know my dad really likes the McRib. So he'll be happy. You know what else is coming back, Kevin?
I have no idea. Well, Halloween.
Yes, that comes back every year. So we don't really have, we have to respect that and shout it out, but it's like, we expect that. We like that. That's a constant. But the thing that is coming back is Toys R Us.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, it went out of business, and sadly, the founder of Toys R Us died right before they announced that they'd be coming back. So just a little bittersweet. I wish he could have seen that his company was still around. But yeah, no, Toys R Us is coming back. They're going to have 24 new stores located around the country. They've been starting, like, even before this, they were opening up smaller, like either inside bigger department store locations or just in specific areas. Like the American Dream Mall in New Jersey had a store pop up there that was like their flagship for their new revitalization of the company. But yeah, they're going to have 24 brick and mortar stores around the country, and they're also going to have stores in airports and on cruise ships, which does not make sense to me. Like,
yeah,
I feel like that's either like a very smart idea because it's like you want to keep your kids occupied at the airport, or a terrible idea because everyone's going to hate you for selling like really annoying toys to children right as they're about to get on a plane, and then everyone has to deal with it. And also like on a cruise ship, really?
Kids forgot to bring their toys on the cruise ship.
I've never been on a cruise ship. I've never been on a cruise, so I don't really know how they work. All I know is that it's like a haven for germs and people getting sick. But anyway, it's part of their quote-unquote air, land, and sea expansion for the company. The first airport store is going to be opening in November in Terminal A of the Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport, which, according to NBC4 News, is the world's second busiest airport. So if you are in Dallas-Fort Worth, you can buy toys while waiting. I wonder if they'll bring back Bionicles, which I know that's Lego, the separate, but like I very distinctly as a child remember going to Toys R Us to pick up Bionicles all the time. But apparently Toys R Us still brings in about $2 billion of global retail sales annually, according to their parent company. So I hope, just because I have the nostalgia for it, I do hope that Toys R Us can survive. I hope that this rebranding will be good for them, but we will see if we start seeing Toys R Us's pop up everywhere. Do you have any fond memories of Toys R Us, Kevin?
Toys R Us, I remember being the place where my dad got me my GameCube.
Ooh.
That is what I remember of Toys R Us. But yeah, Toys R Us is like always like a go-to like childhood like staple.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that like it went bankrupt, and I saw it like living in like Macy's for a long time. And then I'm like, okay, well, they're keeping it alive somehow, I guess. And I guess if they have enough to like get a storefront again, that's pretty cool. Yeah, we'll see how it goes. Hopefully a lot of kids can like go and pick up whatever they need. And same thing with like, I guess us adults now who kind of have money, we want our toys too.
I was about to ask you, like, if you see one of these as you're driving by, you stopping in?
I think so. I think if there's a Toys R Us, like if I get somehow like yoinked over to Fort Worth and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna go into the Toys R Us, I'm gonna do it. Like, I'm gonna go take a look at what's going on. I might not buy anything unless there's like something brand new in there, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's only 24 of them that are gonna be like outside of airports and whatever. So it's like you have a little less than a 50% chance of seeing one in your state. And even then you have to go like be in the city where it is. But if I see one, I'm going in. I'm probably going to spend too much money because disposable income, but oops.
Mm-hmm.
I am an adult, I swear. Okay, this is a really, really weird next story, Kevin. But you can see it on the sheet, but if you could stay in a swamp, would you?
Whose swamp?
Shrek's swamp.
Is Donkey there?
Yes, actually, Donkey is there.
I'll consider it.
Okay, so like this is not technically, like, based on the fact that we're talking about it, this isn't the theoretical in the way we're talking about it. This is not a theoretical. If you are a fan of Airbnb, which Airbnb has its issues and yeah, but if you are a fan of BNB, starting October 13 at 1 p.m. Eastern time, you can request to stay at Shrek's Swamp, a recreation, excuse me, of Shrek's Swamp in the Scottish Highlands, where lucky renters can spend two nights in the home. Currently, the booking dates are only from October 27 to 29 for one two-night stay for up to three guests. It's not going to cost anything to do that because it's a promotion, but you have to, like, Airbnb is going to make a donation to the Hopscotch Children's Charity, but also you have to, like, get to Scotland and to the place on your own. You have to take care of your own travel. It's not a contest. It's just, I think you have to be very quick to request it. I don't know specifically. I'm not an Airbnb user. And just based on the timing window, I don't think I can request that time off or pay for the airfare. So as much as I'd love to do this, I can't. And about the donkey thing, yes, the theme of this is that donkey's hosting while Shrek is away, and there will be waffles, apparently. So,
okay.
I would absolutely love to do this. It looks like really fun, really quaint. And also Shrek is love, Shrek is life. But I don't have, this is a little too soon for me to be a part of.
Yeah, I don't have that kind of money, but Shrek Swamp is kind of a cool location. I mean, if you're a really big Shrek fan, you have to stay in it for two nights, right? That's the thing?
Yeah, it's a two-night stay for up to three people.
Okay. Does it have Wi-Fi?
I hope so. I mean, I'm like, honestly, like, it's a cool recreation and it'd be fun to, like, look and see all the details. But, like, you're there for 2 days. There's only so much, like, Easter egg hunting you can do. Mm-hmm. There's only so many times you can go inside Shrek's outhouse.
Yeah.
All right. So let's move on. Kevin, we did the IGN 50 or 100 best TV shows last week. Yes.
Yes.
Now, The Hollywood Reporter has also released their list of the 50 best TV shows of the 21st century so far. And I'm going to go through the first 40 and then I'll have you guess what you think the top 10 are. And just, you don't have to put them in order.
Okay.
What you think the best top 10 are. But here are the parameters for this. This was a list compiled by three of the critics, I believe, by Daniel Feinberg, Angie Hahn, and Robin Barr from The Hollywood Reporter. It was released today, October 4th, that we're recording. So their parameters are basically that the show had to have episodes airing after December 31st, 1999, even if the show had premiered before that. So, for example, like, the example that they give is The Sopranos was eligible, but only for the five seasons that aired beginning in 2000. Any season before that, you can't use. But as long as that you are, as long as you're starting from New Year of 2000 on and you have episodes going, you are eligible for consideration. They decided also that because there is so much TV internationally, and THR, of course, is an American outlet mainly, and that there really hasn't been a lot of representation until very recently for international television, that they would keep it strictly to English language television. Starting off, here are the honorable mentions who are not part of it. America to Me, Arrested Development, Bob's Burgers, The Good Wife, Great British Bake Off, Happy Valley, Harley Quinn, It's a Sin, Justified, the United States version of The Office, which I don't get how that's not in there, Sense8,
okay,
Somebody Somewhere, This Country, Up, and Watchmen. All right, so those were not considered top 50, but were honorable mentions. Now,
okay,
here we're going from 50 on downwards up to the last 10. 50, Sex and the City. 49, Avatar The Last Airbender. 48, Southside. 47, Vita. 46, the Underground Railroad. 45, the Crown. 44, the Leftovers. 43, Anthony Bourdain, Parts Unknown. 42, Station 11. 41, Beef. 40, Insecure. 39, The Deuce. 38, Band of Brothers. 37, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. 36, The Shield. 35, Chernobyl. 34, Jane the Virgin. 33, Orange is the New Black. 32, Veep. 31, Fleabag. 30, Game of Thrones. 29, Broad City. 50, How To with John Wilson. 27, Parks and Recreation. 26, Battlestar Galactica. 25, Review. 24, I May Destroy You. 23, Survivor. 22, Better Things. 21, Deadwood. 20, Peep Show. 19, Rectify. 18, Friday Night Lights. 17, Halt and Catch Fire. 16, Breaking Bad. 15, Atlanta. 14, Enlightened. 13, 30 for 30. 12, The Americans. And 11, The Daily Show. I didn't know. There are so many of these that I didn't know, or like so many that I don't think were in the right spot or deserve to be in this list, or some that deserve to be higher or lower. I think I agree with the IGN list a little bit more here. But that's, of course, they had 100 instead of 50.
Yeah.
And even then, their list was like, I think, of all time. And this was just the 21st century list. And I don't know how I feel about some of this. So, Kevin, you're guessing in no particular order what you think the top 10 best TV shows of the 21st century so far are.
Okay. Best. It has to come out after, like, after 2000 is,
as
like,
as long
the
as
number,
it
right?
has any episodes after the year 2000 or beginning in the, as long after January 1, 2000, it's okay.
Okay. Okay. I don't want to put it here, but Family Guy.
Okay.
I'll put that up there. What else wasn't mentioned? You said Breaking Bad was like already.
Breaking Bad was, I think,
16.
I want to say.
Okay.
Let me scroll up while you're guessing. I believe it's 16.
Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of like variety in terms of the shows that we're given.
Mm-hmm.
So like, yeah, I'm 16. Trying to like figure out like what is like there, like what constitutes like, yeah, like what are the criteria to make it on the list?
It's I don't think they really tell us, besides these are just what they, as the Hollywood Reporter critics, think is a good show.
Okay. I think it. The Wire wasn't mentioned yet, right?
No.
The Wire
was not mentioned.
Okay, I will take The Wire because they were number one on the other list.
Yep.
And I think that they'll make it here. Family Guy, The Wire. Let's see. Who or what else? I'm surprised The Office isn't on there. I'm surprised.
I can't
believe
that one.
Yeah. I think, yeah, Friends was before this. But like, I don't think it wrapped up the season, like well enough to constitute the whole thing to be in here. So, let me see. It's just like there's a ton of shows. Game shows don't count, right? They're
could.
Not like.
I mean, Survivor.
They could. Okay, yeah.
Survivor's technically.
Is you think Big Brother is on here? Like Big Brother, I think, could also break that list just because of your numbers and like legacy.
So three.
What else would I put up there? I'm trying to think of like other ones that have like been big or like people talk about that I clearly don't watch. your boy is stuck in the anime realm, so trying to think of like animated shows that could possibly like break this. My brain is just like defaulting to like Adult Swim shows and stuff like that. My brain instantly went to like Eric Andre, and I'm like, yeah, that's not a top. There's no way they put that in the top 10. I'm trying to think of like sheer like, it's just hard because like there's no real criteria.
Yeah, the criteria is we think this show is good. That's literally it.
We think show good, and it's after
2000.
After 2000. Okay. Jeez. That's a lots of other shows.
You want me to just tell you?
Yeah, bro. I'm losing it.
Hey, this is, I don't particularly like this list, but I think I just wanted to, I bring it up as a contrast to what we talked about last week.
Yeah,
it's very,
that's fair.
Very different. BoJack Horseman is 10.
Whoa, okay.
9 is Freaks and Geeks.
Okay.
8 is Girls.
Okay.
7 is Better Call Saul. I know, the Girls one surprised me. Like, no one likes Lena Dunham.
And Better Call Saul did better than Breaking Bad.
Somehow.
Okay.
Reservation Dogs is 6, which I've only seen season 1, but I can kind of see this one. The Wire is number 5.
Okay.
So at least that part was kind of consistent, that it was
it's
up
in there.
30 Rock was 4. Succession was 3. The Sopranos was number 2.
Okay.
And you'll never get number 1, Kevin. And I don't understand this either. I love this show, but it's not number 1 worthy. Mad Men.
Okay.
I don't agree with that at all.
Yeah, I don't know if I could place this confidently at a number 1. It is a interesting like,
I agree it's
pick.
Top 50 worthy, but not number 1 worthy.
No Family Guy. That's kind of weird.
Yeah, I mean, Family Guy was a cultural show.
Yeah, exactly. You can't go anywhere. You can't go anywhere on TikTok without like seeing at least one Family Guy.
So many of them also have like the games ads underneath. It's so annoying. It's so annoying.
Subway Surfers.
Yep, always. It's Subway Surfers or like
Subway those, Surfers like, and some person like cutting soap and
yes,
then
it's the soap cutting videos. My God. Well, anyway, that's the list for there. Moving on to the next TV related thing, TV movies related thing. I'll move around, look at the list here. But see another one that didn't get mentioned, Kevin. SpongeBob SquarePants, which is getting renewed for its 15th season after 25 years. It's still going strong. SpongeBob is very much somehow still alive.
Yeah, you would think that
but SpongeBob it's not been good recently.
Yeah, maybe not recently, but like it definitely came out with episodes after 2000 and like did it start? Wait, when?
It started in 1999, July 1999.
Okay, so probably goated season 1 just couldn't count.
Yeah. But, it was season 1 was so good.
Yeah.
There's currently 345 episodes total of SpongeBob.
That's
26 episodes are going to be in the next season that will, quote, uncover even bigger nautical adventures, including SpongeBob thinking he has developed an allergy to Krabby Patties and Plankton learning self-defense from Sandy. So SpongeBob is the most watched animated series for 21 consecutive years. I don't know if that is just on Nickelodeon or just in general as the most watched animated series, but it has that distinction. So of course they're going to renew it. It's still bringing in tons of money. Maybe not tons of quality, but tons of money. So I'm surprised SpongeBob SquarePants was not on that list. You know what else surprises me, Kevin? Okay. Do you know how long it has been since the Ocean Gate submersible Titanic, whatever, Titan submersible?
Oh my God, wait.
You know how long it's been?
I bet it's like, oh geez. Okay, wait, we're in October. Okay.
Beginning of October, yes.
Beginning of October. Man, is it bad that we don't know? Was it like 6 months ago or something?
It was
like
3 months ago.
Oh my God.
Like the end, the very end of June 2023. Like they confirmed the submersible had imploded on June 22nd. 2 weeks later, they told us that there was going to be a docuseries about what was happening, which felt very much way too soon. But the surprising thing that I'm talking about is there's going to be a movie about it from the same company, Mind Riot Entertainment, that they're developing a movie called Salvaged.
It's not, though. It's still down there.
So the movie called Salvaged is a narrative feature that will explore segments of the time before the submersible's deployment, during the search for the vessel, and after the Titan's wreckage is uncovered. According to one of the producers, the founder of Mind Riot, John Kesey, our film will not only honor all those involved in the submersible tragedy and their families, but will serve as a vessel that will also address a more macro concern about the nature of media today. The Titan tragedy is yet another example of a misinformed and quick-to-pounce system, in this case, our nonstop 24/7 media cycle that convicts and ruins the lives of so many people without any due process. I don't think we need a movie about this, honestly. I think they're just... It's just the spectacle of it. They're also taking advantage of that same thing that they said that they're trying to highlight. They are taking advantage of it too. So it feels a bit disingenuous and also unnecessary. And like, I don't think I will be watching this.
Yeah, I think it's like, it's kind of like a cash grab right now where
absolutely.
It hasn't even been a year. Like I thought it was at least like 6 months, but like if it was 3 months ago, that's even worse. It's like if something exploded that was like huge, and then they were just like, yeah, let's make a movie about it like 3 months later. That's not how that works.
It feels so, so soon for this.
Yeah.
I don't know. It feels so, like you said, cash grab. It's exploitative. I don't know if anyone wants to see this. If anything, like, people are still like making fun of the people on the vessel. I don't think we need to like lionize them. I don't think we really care why and how it exploded. I think we all, like the most of us, seeing that it was controlled by a Logitech controller, knew it was a bad idea. Knew it wasn't gonna be safe, and yet all these folks went in there anyway. So nautical nonsense be something you wish.
They're in Bikini Bottom now. I swear, if the new season of SpongeBob has a submersible, I'm gonna lose it.
Well, I mean, they do have. There is an episode with the sub, and it's like imploding, but like, somehow their mystery meat saves them because it plugs up all the cracks. It's one of the last scenes of SpongeBob I watched. Okay, so moving on to the strike stuff that's happening right now. The WGA, Writers Guild of America, has finally come to a deal with the studios and the production companies. They didn't get everything they wanted, but I think they got a lot of what they did want. For example, they got a lot of, I think, headway with AI, so a summary of what the things that they've won through this MBA, which is a minimum business agreement, I think. Yeah, no, minimum basic agreement, an MBA, not a Masters of Business Arts. The MBA stipulates that AI can't write or rewrite literary material, and AI-generated material will not be considered source material, meaning that things that are generated by AI can't be used to undermine a writer's credit or separated rights. Writers can choose to use AI when performing writing services if the company that they're working for consents and provided that the writer follows applicable company policies, but the company can't require a writer to use AI if they don't want to. Companies have to disclose if writers are to the writer if any materials given to the writer have been generated by AI or incorporated AI-generated material. Then the Writers Guild of America reserves the right to assert that exploitation of writers' material to train AI is prohibited by the minimum business agreement or other law. So if whatever production company comes to them and uses their material to train AI, they can take them back to court or to renegotiate everything. Yeah, it allows them to take these companies to court. So they've done a lot of wins and gains through AI. So writers at this point, I feel like, are pretty well protected. They've made some headway in staffing writers' rooms. They're given writers' room minimums, which I think it requires a certain number of writers to be in the room at all times for staffing. It increases their minimum salary, all these other benefits that they get as well. They did not get residuals for streaming, but they did get viewership-based streaming bonuses based on the streaming numbers during the first 90 days of release, among other things. So yeah, that's the Writers Guild has won a lot. They're not quite back to work yet, but they have voted to end the strike and accept these terms of agreement. However, as this strike is ending, another strike is beginning. SAG-AFTRA, the Screen Actors Guild, and the American Federation of Television, Radio, or some, I forget what AFTRA stands for, but it's radio, film, television, everything, video games at this point too, except that SAG-AFTRA has decided that they are going to be extending their strike to video game companies. Of the 34,687 ballots cast, representing about 27% of SAG-AFTRA's eligible voters, about 98.32% of them voted to strike against the top 10 video game companies. The specific companies that in question here are Activision, Blind Light, Disney Character Voices, Electronic Arts, Epic Games, Formosa Interactive, Insomniac Games, Take-Two, VoiceWorks, and WB Games. A lot of this is surrounding the use of AI. Let me see what else here. Where's the rest of it? Yeah. So a lot of this is around AI. A lot of this is also about like finances and paying actors. They're calling for an 11% wage increase, on-set medics for hazardous performance capture, and protections against the use of generative AI to replace working actors. This is the first time that video game actors have had a strike since 2016, which lasted about a year. The talks are resuming with the studios. They haven't been able to reach a deal, but apparently talks are still in place. It's not like how with the other production companies for television and film, they kind of refused to come to the table. But hopefully with the writer strike coming that has come to the end, these actor strikes can also find a quick negotiation and end soon. And then the last thing for me is, this is kind of sad, and it's not official, but the writing is pretty much on the wall. The Overwatch League Championships happened this past weekend. The Florida Mayhem won the entire thing. Good for Florida. but it seems like this is the end of the Overwatch League, at least as we know it. On social media, the Overwatch League posted, "With the completion of the 2023 Overwatch League season, we will be focusing on building our vision of a revitalized esports program. We're eager to share with you more as details are finalized. Additionally, I didn't watch the broadcast, but according to all of the people who did, who were posting on social media, the comments, the like closing ceremonies, everything from Zoe and Jake and all of the staff very much felt like they were saying goodbye and like gave clues that this was the end. If you looked on the social media, a lot of the teams and players were posting things like saying, thank you for all the memories. Thank you for the last 6 years. And it's like, it's very much hinting that these teams expect that the league is over for now. As we've stated before in our coverage of the league, it doesn't make money at this point. The hope was for the homestands to establish a way for the investors to make more money back with people buying tickets, buying merch, buying food at these venues, et cetera, et cetera. COVID stopped all that. Unfortunately, I was really looking forward to it. I had bought my season tickets to the LA Valiants games, and I got refunded, thankfully. But yeah, it seems like this is the end of the Overwatch League as we know it. I don't know what they mean by a revitalized esports program. Since they're ending this now, I can't see how they bring it back because they already had some stuff in place. And like, they did try. They tried to keep it going. Like the Hawaii stuff, I think, was a very earnest and good attempt in their part to try to make things as close to normal as we could during the COVID season and to bring back some excitement to the league. But I don't know. I feel like they didn't do enough during COVID to make the Overwatch League as dynamic and as exciting as they could be. And like, I think a lot of us, as you've mentioned before, when we were the Believe in Overwatch League podcast, is if you've been with us for a long time, you know, we started as an Overwatch League podcast. I think the GOATs killed. We were stuck in GOATs for so long. They didn't do enough to revitalize and keep the meta fun and dynamic that so many people just lost interest.
Yeah, I totally agree. Because like, even though I was on a pro team and like our best season was GOATs, when it came to like the actual game itself, the fact that there was a lack of response coming from the devs, like GOATs lasted for like somewhere around like 4 to 6 months. And that is a long time to not have any adjustments or changes to a game like that. And yeah, that ate up so much of like the competitive play. And it's the same thing that's happening where you just see the same stuff over and over again. And if you're not a coordinated team, you don't play. And then when you play other like random matches, you end up seeing this GOATs comp and just run the same thing over and over again. You get funneled into Brig and then you just cry about it. but the truth of it is the fact that like, I feel like it's been like a bit of the Overwatch League not doing well is a reflection of the game itself and everything that's like surrounding Overwatch not doing well. Whether it was like devs not responding, the whole Blizzard accusation things that were going around, and then the switch from Overwatch 1 to Overwatch 2 and all the dramatic changes and the formatting of how the game operates, it was like overwhelming. Which, if you did not have a team already that's like bringing you back in every single week and like you're kind of like enjoying the game for the fact that it's still Overwatch and it's still like, you know, a team game in that sense, you just fall off. It's not the same game that initially brought you in with Overwatch 1. And Overwatch 2 has a whole bunch of different rules and like different formatting, you know, 5-on-5 versus 6-on-6, and all that is like just too much for like us old boomer gamers. I'm not saying that the entire game is dead. If anything, I think that this just forces a retreat back to a more, how can I say it? A more grassroots scene where when you do have team are like working together, and you'll see Overwatch tournaments still. They'll still happen. It's just a matter of like if you find teams that are willing to take it seriously enough, and or if they plan on rebooting the league, what changes will they make so that, you know, it stays viable? AKA just stay on Twitch. Felt like that helped a lot. But yeah, it's just a lot of like there was too much of a shift, and not a lot of people were on board. And yeah, it's just gonna be really interesting to see where Overwatch goes from here. Not just the league itself, but also like the game. We'll be keeping tabs on all that because we've seen what they have to do. I mean, once we saw Overwatch hit Steam, we're like, okay, like they can't even go through like Battle.net as much anymore. It just starts getting a little weird.
Last three things from me, Kevin, before we move on to your stuff. What was your favorite thing about Overwatch League? What was your least favorite thing? And what do you think, with them saying that they're looking for a revitalized program, what do you think that means, if there is even going to be one? Or do you not think that there's going to be one?
How would I want this? I do feel like they have to do something on Overwatch side first. Like the dev team has to find a way to make Overwatch exciting again, not only for players who have stuck around, but like to bring older players back in. Whether it is like, hey, like even like the fact that they scrapped like PvE was one thing, but also to do like to take away PvE, and then that also means the death of the original 6-on-6. I felt like that those are like two things that are just like that's like unrecoverable, right? If they are gonna like revitalize the league, one, I feel like this is just better for investors in general. It is okay to not do like it's okay to not do city-based teams. I'm okay with you guys being Cloud9, with being NRG, with being Team Liquid, so on and so forth. But to keep it local, have events or like midway tournaments that are in specific regions. That way you can not only excite people when there are like mid-season tournaments, but you could also like draw in a crowd in certain spots. So for example, like if they are still keeping like the APAC like teams, like there's clearly going to be like Gen G and like teams that are from Korea who want to participate in Overwatch. You'll have those kinds of teams having like one international like game in like somewhere in Southeast Asia, right? You'll do the same thing in Europe, and you'll do the same thing in NA and South America too. You just start having these like little tournaments here and there, and then just have like either a mid-season or like a grand finals where like the top two from each region come together in like a big spot, and you can shift that over wherever you want. And then just have like kind of reformat it in a way where it brings the world together again. But it is kind of like a bigger stage for the league, you know? I feel like just rebranding and letting the let the teams be the teams that like they don't have to be like the SF Shock or the Houston Outlaws. They can represent the company that actually is their namesake. I felt like everything overall was pretty good. I personally still a big fan of season one. I thought, you know, allowing fans to just buy tickets day of and go see an Overwatch League match would be sick.
Oh yeah, that was the best.
Yeah, like that it was a home for Overwatch, and I felt like that was a really nice touch. Like even if teams from other places couldn't really participate in like their home region, I felt like it's still a great place to see games. But overall, I think if they do a restructuring, they also have to win the fans back through development. It's got to be something big enough to not only say like, oh, Overwatch League is back. What are they going to change to bring the players back? I know that at least for me as a commentator, like the best part of Overwatch League was like having like understanding that people now understand that this is like kind of a big business. And that commentary is essential for games like this. Without that, there's no like, you can watch somebody play a game, but without like the deeper understanding of like having fun with it and having, you know, two commentators go back and forth with it, you realize how important like even a little bit of that background noise is to create a great atmosphere and especially to create like epic moments, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what I liked about Overwatch League. I know it brought us together, obviously, through this whole podcasting experience. So yeah. Still grateful for that. And I hope, honestly, I wish that Overwatch somehow finds a way to bring people back in, whether it's like, it doesn't need to be like a rebrand. It could be just like better events or something to bring back the old crowd, and then promise us that the league will be a better, like it could be completely redone in a different way to allow a lot more teams to participate, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think for me, before we move on to your stuff, I think my favorite part was just that it made me kind of understand esports and how big the scene is and like what it was all about. My least favorite part, I think, was just how samey it could be, and like also some of their staff was not the greatest. Like I hated August Masunat. I can't remember what his name was, but he said some quite frankly like upsetting things during his time on in season one. I think it was I can't remember. Yeah, I'm not even gonna pretend to remember what his name was. But yeah, he said some awful things. I think Danny was just not it. Danny Lim, you were not ever good at your job. You could translate, but that's all you were really good for. And I think moving forward, I honestly think that they've lost their momentum. I don't think we'll see something. They couldn't support contenders. They couldn't support Path to Pro. They couldn't really support college as well as we would have liked them to. So I think that this is probably going to be it. I think they might try something, but I don't think it'll last very long because they had the infrastructure in place now. They didn't take advantage of it when like you couldn't go to see actual like traditional sports games and esports was all that there was. You didn't take advantage of that. So what are you going to do now that normal sports are back? So I will miss the Overwatch League. I will cherish my memories of it. I might just try to buy a Houston Outlaws jersey while they still exist for the shits and giggles of it. But yeah.
When you do buy your jerseys, do you do the custom one with your name on the back?
No, I would get a Dante one because I specifically enjoyed watching them because of Dante.
Yeah, that's
I would
fair.
Customize it to Dante.
Yeah. You probably grab one, yeah. They probably still have that on the internet.
Probably. We'll see.
I think I gotta check who signed the one that I have. Because I was like close to the shock when when they first brought over Super and Sinatra, when they were like not even eligible for the league, like they were signed in, their welcome to the Bay party like I was at, and they had like everybody sign like a jersey. So yeah, I have that one, and then I think I have a season two one with like Architect and other people on there. So that was also a really cool experience. But yeah, overall I hope that like I don't think I know that Overwatch League and Overwatch needs to like fix their stuff, but I feel like if they learn from this league and apply it to a new game that might be like in the works or something, they could clearly make it into something that they can learn from their mistakes and have a great league and keep it up, you know?
Mm-hmm. If that's a big if, though.
Yeah, that's a big if.
All right, Kevin, tell us about the big ifs coming to anime. Well, not big ifs. They're realities that are coming to anime. I was trying to do a transition there. It was bad.
No. There were a lot of ifs in the air. We were talking about last week the Right Stuff merger with Crunchyroll. Crunchyroll being one of the biggest anime distributors, online streaming services that we currently have at the moment. And then we have Right Stuff Anime, who is one of the most popular like manga suppliers in at least North America. But last year, Crunchyroll bought Right Stuff Anime. And on the 10th, which is next week, they're going to absorb Right Stuff Anime. RightStuffAnime.com will no longer be a thing. And it's all absorb, their inventory.
I think of Cell and Boo. My God.
Yeah, they're not good. They're not like eating them completely, but like that do be how it is. But all their inventory is going to go to Crunchyroll. And we had a really big, like, I guess the best way to describe it is an oh shit moment. Because me as a manga collector, Right Stuff is like one of the few places that I go to every single week to check if like there's a deal. Is there anything cool going on? Is there anything that's on my list that I want to go ahead and pick up? But with this merger, there were a lot of questions. It's like, okay, so they absorbed their inventory. Does that mean that they're going to keep the same pricing structure? Are they going to keep the same packaging? Which they used to put boxes inside of boxes with tissue paper with more boxes that would be like egg cartons. So like your books don't get damaged in the mail. And they took like really good care of everything. There was a lot of questions going on about that, but there's a guy on Twitter, or X, I guess, but Twitter, called Manga Alerts, and he is usually on the side of the publishers, and he's listening on everything. What they heard from Crunchyroll is that they're going to be keeping the pricing and the packaging exactly the same as Right Stuff. If anything, Crunchyroll is going to be upgrading their previous packaging for their merchandise and a lot of their like figures. To be up to the same standard as Right Stuff Anime at the moment. The other thing that's still up in the air is the membership fee. We don't know if it's going to be tied in with Crunchyroll's streaming services or if it's going to be something else. I hope that it somehow like merges it in a way without being too expensive for everybody. But honestly, if Crunchyroll has like a really cool like membership plan, especially for us manga readers, I would definitely be looking into that. The other thing that they said that they are going to be keeping is the pricing structure. So Right Stuff Anime usually had things probably 10 to 15% off of retail price or MSRP. Even like just on a random off day, they'll just have that. And that's not just like, that's not like a sale or anything. If they do sales, it's going to be like 15 to 65% off. And it's like, it's a lot that they take off for
65% is huge.
Yeah. They would like slash an entire book down, and it's crazy. So like, for example, like I have a lot of the Yu-Gi-Oh! Omnibuses on my shelf. And originally I think they go for like $15 a pop. When I got them during the sale, they were like $8 each. So I was like, I'm going to get the entire set. I'm going to make sure that I get it. And it's coming in slowly. So yeah, that's something that I'm definitely looking forward to. And we know that, you know, Crunchyroll and Right Stuff are going to be keeping the pricing and the packaging the same. Membership is still up in the air, but we'll definitely keep you guys updated. I know that Right Stuff is one of my go-to spots, so we'll definitely have to see how it changes before the 10th. Also, if you guys are going to do a purchase from Right Stuff at the very end, make sure to use code thank you, no space, all capitals. That will get you 15% off of your final purchase with Right Stuff. So there's still like the site is still up, but it's going to shut down on the 10th. So make sure to go ahead and get your stuff, get your orders through while you can. Speaking of Crunchyroll, let's talk about the new anime season that is currently out. There are a couple shows that have been aired already. I know a lot of people are keeping up with a lot of the JJK stuff. We're all waiting on Zombie 100 and asking where the production is. literally week to week. But we can talk about some of the ones that are already out. The one that I was mainly looking forward to was Freemen, which is the Beyond Journey's End. It was the one that was supposed to have the 2 hour long, like, what is it? It aired 2 hours worth of footage in day one. In other words, if you guys watch it online, they dropped 4 episodes on us on the first week, which for me, I'm fine with that. If they need to take a hiatus, if they need to take a break after that, you do that. But I'm greatly enjoying the series. I enjoyed the manga a lot, and I'm glad that a lot of people are now catching up with it and enjoying that as well. The other one that is currently airing on Crunchyroll is Shangri-La Frontier. That is going to be another one that is under the radar a little bit more. But I love the manga for that. A lot of people are going to fall in love with the little like bunny mascot when we get there. That should be the next episode. But SLF, Shangri-La Frontier is going to be really big. But I know a lot of people are still waiting on the stuff coming out this weekend, and that is one thing that at least I'm keeping my eyes out for. My mom is keeping an eye out for, because Spy Family is coming back, and that is going to be on Saturday. So yeah, Saturday the 7th, mark your calendar, make sure that you have, I don't know, alerts, whatever, to wake up your mom, sit everybody on the couch, watch Spy Family. The opening is currently out for Spy Family. If you guys want to check out the new opening sequence for Spy Family, it is on Crunchyroll's YouTube page. So yeah, definitely head over there if you guys are interested in watching that and keeping up to date with all of the new openings and shows and whatnot. Another quick announcement, this next week on Sunday and Monday, there's a limited release of Blue Giant in theaters. If you guys want to go ahead and see a jazz manga movie, it is going to be out on the 8th and the 9th. I'm going to try to, I just bought my ticket to go ahead and see it. It's going to be in local theaters. So check whichever one is closest to you. Make sure to get a ticket, especially if you like jazz. I'll definitely be taking a peek at how it works, because it's one of those, I have the manga. I have 2 volumes of the manga. It's hard to hear a book, clearly, right? Like, you can't, like, hear the jazz coming out of the book.
Unless it's an audiobook.
Like, unless it's an audiobook, but it doesn't come with, like, an audiobook. He's just, like, dooting on his tenor sax, and you see the notes coming out, and I'm like, yeah, that's cool, but, like, I can't hear it. And so, I'm glad that, you know, the movie is coming out. It's going to give us a really nice, like, kickoff into how Blue Giant is supposed to sound and the whole vibe of it. So I'm excited to go ahead and see this movie. That is what we got so far for the anime season. There is going to be a lot more coming around the corner, so keep your eyes peeled. If there's anything that you guys want me to check out, please let me know. I will definitely at least I'll give most series a 3-episode rule, like kickstart. So we'll definitely see how it goes. But watch Freemen, Shangri-La Frontier, and Spy Family this Saturday. Those are going to be all important. All right, let's go ahead and move on into the manga section. There's only a couple things coming out this week. I mean, there's 6 of them, but we're going to go over the 3 big ones. The first one is Witch Hat Atelier 11. I have, the second that I got into my hands, I read the whole thing. It is still wonderful. Kamome Shirohama is an excellent artist. Still playing with paneling and just excellent art in general. Witch Hat 11, great. If you guys want to see where Chainsaw Man is right now, we are on Chainsaw Man book 12. The box set came out at the end of last week. So if you guys have never read Chainsaw Man and you want to read Chainsaw Man, go pick up the books, go pick up the box set. It will have everything in it. It might have some freebies. I'm not 100%. I haven't bought it yet. But Chainsaw Man book 12 is out now. It goes over what is happening after the original Chainsaw Man arc. And then the last one is Hunter x Hunter. Hunter x Hunter is on book 37. So yeah, definitely go ahead and pick that one up if you guys are keeping up with Hunter x Hunter. That's a lot of books. Okay, moving on into next week, the 10th. The 10th has a couple of books that we want to go ahead and mention. The first one for me, I'm going to knock out real quick, is going to be Komi Volume 27, Komi Can't Communicate. Love that series. It's just so really good. Fun. It's just a cozy show, man. Like, you just read it. I have all the other 26 on the shelf. I got to get 27 when it comes out. The next one is Dandadan, Book 5. If you guys haven't read Dandadan, it is made by one of the assistants of Chainsaw Man. So the guy who worked under Chainsaw Man made Dandadan. Imagine the weird stuff that happens in Chainsaw Man, but even funnier than Chainsaw Man. That is what Dandadan is. And I greatly love it. And they're hinting at some cool stuff happening towards Jump Festa, which is going to be towards the end of the year, where all of the Shonen Jump stuff comes out and they announce cool stuff. Last but not least, if you guys are keeping up with newer Shonen Jump properties, Akane Banashi Book 2 is going to be coming out also on the 10th. That is one of the books that I am keeping an eye out for. I'm a sucker for anything that has Rakugo in it. Rakugo is a Japanese one-man storytelling kind of format, like kind of a one-man like storytelling show, and people like specialize in the stories and their storytelling technique. I loved Descending Stories Rakugo, and I'm loving Akane Banashi already, so make sure to pick that up. Three other ones super quick, I'm just gonna rattle it off. Betwixt comes out. That's going to be another horror manga, Junji Ito-esque, kind of creepy. It is a horror manga anthology, so if you guys want to grab some creepy manga, go ahead and do that. Then we have Kaiju number 8 volume 8. If you want to see an older protagonist, check that one out. And last but not least, we have My Hero Academia Vigilantes. That is book 15. It's a spinoff story of what's going on in My Hero. Gonna tell you right now, the 17th is gonna be a crazy day for manga. My wallet hurts just by looking at the list. But I am making it a plan to go out on the 17th to get all the books that I'm missing on the 10th and on the 17th. So look forward to that on the socials. My wallet is gonna hurt, but at least I know what I'm picking up when I get there.
All right, so as we wrap up for the week, Kevin, give us some life advice, as we are wont to do, because I really don't know how to end these episodes aside from that.
Yeah, that's totally fine. If you guys are getting bored of a certain game, feel free to move on. That is something that we could all attune to. I know that at least for me, like, there are some games that like hold my interest and like keep my interest, and I have a lot of fun with it. Other ones I just rotate in and out of rotation. Just make sure to keep like on your toes and have fun with the games that you have. Also, Jackbox Party Pack comes out on the 19th. So if you guys are looking for some fun times to go and hang out with friends and like play fun games, make sure to download that. So whenever you have people over on Halloween, you can do that. Go get your candy. Don't eat it before the kids get there. Pokemon trick or trade packs are at Costco.
I picked
go to Costco.
I got some.
Yeah, that's where they're at. Yeah, and don't scalp from the Van Gogh Museum.
What?
Oh, wait, the Pokemon Van Gogh Museum?
I thought we mentioned minutes before this recording. Okay. Ends, Kevin.
Okay, cool. I thought we mentioned it last week, but there was a Pokemon Van Gogh Museum in Amsterdam. The highlight of it was that there were a lot of Pokemon merch and like cool art pieces that were Pokemon themed that were done in Van Gogh style. The bad side about it is once the doors opened, the scalpers went in, bought everything, and like cleared out the entire like merch store. And we're pretty much only there for, you know, getting the merch and getting out. Lucky for Pokemon, they were really smart about it. They had the initial wave of people who came in and like took what they want. But essentially they just waited 20 minutes and then restocked afterwards. So they let them rush in, grab whatever they can, but they made sure that they had stock for everybody. And people, like, even though are fighting over it, you can check it out. Would recommend going online if you guys want to see what some of the art looks like. They have some of it posted online. So go there. Go ahead and check it out.
Thank you guys for tuning in with us this week. Don't buy scalped merch, and we will catch you next week. Adios.
Next week, we bring you the latest news and stories from around the internet.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to us and rate us 5 stars on all your favorite podcast platforms. You can also follow us on all social media at TwigPod, that's TwigPod, and feel free to send us any questions, comments, or any suggestions of topics you'd like us to cover. If you'd like to advertise with our show, please contact our network at Bleav.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next week in Geek.